Yo, it's the Lord. Come watch me debate the First Lady of Fantasy Sports. It's going to get nasty.
All right, well, this is, of course, Off the Record, and we are being brought to you this week in conjunction with our new partner, Dynasty Football Factory. Please also don't forget our partners, FantasyAssembly.com, as well as Friends with Fantasy Benefits. I want to quickly note, if you missed out on a Revel Labels draft kit for football, fear not. They have basketball, hockey, baseball as well, so there's never too late of a time or it's never the wrong season. Go check out RevelLabels.com. Continue to use them and continue to use code NickelPressTV to save 10% on your order. Additionally, I'm still ringless, but custom fantasy rings. I'm waiting for them to send me the prototype so I can model it here for you. Win your league and look like the champion that a professional would look like and get your bling. Go to CustomFantasyRings.com. They have legit real rings. These are not little crackerjack prizes or anything like that. You can use code NickelPressTV there as well for free shipping and handling. And lastly, before I introduce our guests, don't forget, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter, of course. And most importantly, you're on the YouTube channel right now, so please subscribe. And if there's anything at all at any point in this video that you enjoyed, click the thumbs up, because believe it or not, it really does help us out and make a difference. So with that being said, let me go ahead and bring in our guest this week.
Full time, I'm with Fantasy Draft. I pump out at least 14 articles a week for them. Then I do some articles for FanVice. I do some articles for RotoCurve. I do once a week for Daily Fantasy Cafe. So I'm kept pretty busy during the football season.
This is like your for real job, then.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I do this full time. I love it. I wouldn't see myself anywhere else, as you can tell, which is why I take on about 35 different things a week.
I'm saving the best for last, because I am trying to avoid the I don't know what's going to come of this. Beautiful young woman as our guest this week happens to be in the Dream League presented by Razzball with Tay Hall and myself. And there's been somewhat of a crush that's developed over the last month or so from Mr. Bedick, the Lord. He's trying to make Miss Stern his Lordess. So, Stacey, please let the world know who you are and where they can find you as well.
I'm Stacey Stern, and I'm the general manager of Head to Head Sports. Some of you may know me on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports. I'm called the First Lady of Fantasy Sports, which, by the way, is a huge honor because it was given to me a few years ago by Charlie Wiegert, who is the founder of CDM Sports and fought really hard for the industry against Major League Baseball Advanced Media. So he basically saved the industry and gave me the nickname. So I'm honored to have that nickname. You can find me on Twitter at Stacey Stern, and that's Stacey with an IE.
And you can also find the Lord making overtures towards her each and every week on the Razzball Dream League, as I mentioned. Before we get into some topics of discussion this week, do you have anything to share with the world, sir?
Me?
Of course.
You know, not a whole lot, man. It was a devastating Sunday with the Sea Chickens getting annihilated again, like clockwork, on the road against the Rams, the easiest money in the world. It happens every year, yet I pick the Seahawks in my betting thing just out of loyalty to the team, even though I know they have no shot at actually winning the game. It's a disgrace. I don't know what's wrong with the team, other than the offensive line is obviously kind of a problem. But other than that, like, what's the deal? We got all our weapons are healthy. I don't understand. Maybe Ricky can break that down to me, because I'm sure he's watched 24 hours of film on the game already since the game ended. And other than that, man, I'm just enjoying the Dream League. Being involved with Stacey on a daily basis is kind of my dream come true. I invited her into the league. She graciously accepted. She is our First Lady of Fantasy Sports, and it's an honor
to have her. Let's be clear. She accepted a league invitation.
I did. I know. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I posted something about it, and she responded. I didn't even specifically harass her for it. I threw out the line, and she bit.
She did. She certainly did. And I'm going to stop you from throwing out any more lines right now. So as we move into some of the players of the first 2 weeks, we saw Danny Woodhead go down. Melvin Gordon is now the focal point of the Chargers offense. This has been your biggest surprise, Ricky, to this point in the season. Now, is it because going forward, Woodhead is out of the picture, or is it based on what he was doing prior to this, and now that just becomes even better?
Well, to me, it's a surprise because I was way off him. I mean, just a week ago, I was writing that Melvin Gordon was fool's gold, basically. Well, the rookie year goes by. He doesn't score a touchdown. I'm off him this year, you know, because of the Ken Wisenhunt thing. He kind of has a affirmation for Danny Woodhead. Woodhead plays 50 snaps to his 23 in the opener. So those two touchdowns kind of seem like a fluke, honestly. I mean, Danny Woodhead outgained him in terms of yards per carry. He outtouched him. So I really didn't like him heading into week two. And then boom, Woodhead goes down, tears the ACL. And all of a sudden, I mean, Melvin Gordon, 27 touches. He catches three passes after he didn't catch a pass in week one. You know, they pretty much rely on him now, now that they don't have Woodhead, now that they don't have Allen. Wisenhunt's going to have to go with the run game. So he went from kind of a borderline RB3 to me to a borderline RB1, because we're talking about a Ken Wisenhunt offense that the last time he was with the Chargers, 6th in rushing attempts, 13th in rushing yards, 25th in touchdowns, and I don't think they'll be that low if they're giving Gordon these goal line carries. Remember, this is a guy who was compared to Todd Gurley in that draft class. So really his quick ascension is what's a surprise to me, how you can go from 1 week being like, I'm not going to touch this guy, to the next week being like, maybe I'll trade my top receiver for him.
Did they just sign McCluster or something like that? So I'm concerned that they're going to try to dump those guys in there. I probably just, I'm sure Stacy was going to bring this up. She's so intelligent, so lovely, so smart. But what I was going to say is that I'm just concerned with that with Gordon. But Gordon on Fantasy Pros, I think, is a consensus top five running back this week. So it's already like, and of course they're playing the Colts, so he's supposed to go off. So, but yeah, people are kind of expecting big things after those first 2 weeks. Would I trade my number one receiver for him? I don't know about that, but we'll see. I'm excited. I have Gordon in a lot of places, actually. So this is not that I ever root for people to get hurt, but you know.
What's your take with Gordon? Are you surprised by him as well? Is he somebody you're riding out right now?
I am surprised by him. I liked him a lot coming out of college because I watched him at Wisconsin and thought he was incredibly talented, but just, I don't know if he was underutilized last year. He was never, you know, didn't learn the system, wasn't pass blocking well. So I had concerns going into this year. So I am surprised. I'm really intrigued by the McCluster signing because I think that if they can figure out the balance of running with Gordon, north and south runner, opening up with Phillip Rivers, McCluster in space is pretty deadly. So I'm interested to see how he can fill in for that Woodhead PPR running back role. And then I think that that lessens Gordon's value. So I would definitely trade high on Gordon now.
Well, I'm going to keep it with you since we're talking about running backs, and somebody that you've been kind of disappointed with through the first 2 weeks of the season is Eddie Lacy. Now, I tweeted out earlier today, he's in 48 career games, he's only carried the ball more than 20 times, 15 of those games, which is 31% of his career. In those games, he's averaged 23 carries and 103 yards. So is Eddie Lacy broken, or are his touches the problem here?
You know, I think it's kind of it's both. It's a systemic thing, I think, with the Packers. And I feel like they're not using him the right way. But then when I look at him, and I know he lost weight coming into camp this year, I'm looking at him now, and he looks like he's put on weight again. I don't know. He looks slow again to me. So I'm concerned about the Packers totally offensively right now, and they've got to get it in gear. But why are they bringing in Starks against Minnesota in opportunities that I thought would have been better for Lacy? So I'm concerned that systemically they don't know what they're doing with Lacy. I think he looks slow. You know, if he could get me 100-yard games, I'm thrilled, right? But I don't think that's going to happen. And I think through the first 2 weeks, fantasy points-wise, we're looking at like 15 points or 13 points, depending on the league, you know, if it's a PPR or half-point PPR like ours in the Dream League. I'm just really concerned about him getting touches, and then I'm concerned about him getting red zone touches specifically, because that's what I was hoping for, was goal line carries.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I kind of agree with all her points on him, and he was kind of the reason that I was so on taking wide receivers early, kind of regardless. You know, in one of my main leagues, I had the fifth pick, and I went with Allen Robinson because I looked at the running back selection, and I'm just like, I don't want any of these guys. I'm looking at fifth, sixth rounds. You got the, you know, Fortes and even lower. I mean, I was pretty comfortable with a lot of guys, the quantity over quality, because I think that some of these early running backs just were overvalued, and Lacy looks like a guy who I agree. I mean, the releasing Sitton prior to the season didn't make much sense to me in terms of a guard, especially when you got Lacy, who's an inside runner, and the offenses look bad. Mind you, I think this Minnesota defense is one of the best three or four in the league, so I'm not totally freaking out, and I actually love the Packers this week. They're one of my favorite stacks in daily fantasy because I think everyone's going to be on the Saints. But I do think that this is just a team that's never going to fully utilize their backs. We've seen this Lacy story over and over and over. It's him. It's Starks. It's just a frustrating situation. The Packers are always going to be pass first. They're kind of one of those teams like the Patriots of the past that's used that short passing game instead of the running game when they can't get it going. I'm just not a fan of Lacy, who looks, again, slow to me.
On the opposite end of that spectrum, your disappointment was Todd Gurley.
Well, you know, I'm a man of my puns, and I kind of tweeted on Twitter after that first game is that, you know, with Case Keenum, the case is pretty closed on this offense. They suck until they at least make the switch to Jared Goff. I mean, I know they pulled out the win last week, but I mean, there was a stat, Michael Beller tweeted it out, that Gurley saw fewer than eight men in the box four of his 19 carries this week, four out of 19. So, I mean, I think that's how it's going to be going forward until they're able to develop any kind of pass game. And no matter how good of a running back you are, if you have the whole entire defense shadowed over you, you're not going to be able to get it done. I don't care if you're LaDainian Tomlinson in his prime. You need a balanced offense. They're just not getting that. And until they have any semblance of it, I think it's going to be struggles for Gurley. And there were kind of signs of it down the stretch last year. I mean, he scored a bunch, but he was under 4 yards a carry in six of his final eight games last year. So this is a trend that developed at the end of the year. And the team's getting nowhere near the goal line, so I don't know how you can expect any touchdowns from him. I'm legitimately worried about Gurley. I'm kind of downgrading him to a high-end running back, too, moving forward.
It's been like 10 minutes since I've spoken, so I kind of lost track of what we were talking about. Oh, you're still talking about Eddie Lacy here. I got to point out that I do love the pictures behind Stacey. I always point them out. I love those little trees. things and where do I get those?
I don't remember. Probably I don't know, Crate and Barrel or something. I don't know.
Okay, cool. I'll check it out. But yeah, awesome. Eddie Lacy, I don't understand. Like what are they doing with this guy? You guys have already said it, I'm sure. I don't know. I wasn't really listening. But I mean, why are you not using this guy in the goal line? I mean, they've over the years they insist on running Kuhn there. He's finally gone, thank God. But instead they're throwing on first down in the flat. It's just like you have this huge dude, and then on fourth down, like you mentioned, I'm sure one of you mentioned again, I wasn't listening, but Starks on fourth and one or something like that, they run him. Like, what is, I don't understand when he's out there beasting on people. I mean, we saw what he did. They had like D linemen just shoulder plowing him and shit, and they can't put this guy in at the goal line or on a fourth and one. Isn't that the purpose of a running back like this? At Gurley, you know, I'm not too concerned. I'd probably buy low. I mean, do I think he's going to be the best running back in fantasy? Maybe not, but I prefer like a Bell going forward when he comes back and probably David Johnson. But Gurley could still probably be a top three, four running back overall. I'd still, you know, if somebody's about to give up on him, I would take a look-see there.
I ran a Twitter poll literally last night asking, am I crazy for asking this? Who do you prefer, Melvin Gordon or Todd Gurley moving forward? And with a substantial amount of votes, I think it got close to 100, 67% were on Melvin Gordon moving forward.
If you have Gurley, are you selling or are you holding?
So I have him in an auction league, and I just put out an offer for Allen Robinson. Would I do it for Gordon? I mean, I tend to say that I like Gordon better moving forward, but when I have Gurley, I got cold feet. I'd probably want a slight advantage along with it, but it is enough to make me think. I'd probably be holding.
Gurley, though, I agree with you on putting offers out because the name value is still there. And that offense, even if they make the switch at quarterback, is Goff really going to do anything that's going to make people not focus on the run still? So you're still looking at the same thing. If you're in a dynasty league or a keeper league or something like that, maybe the story is different. But all this turmoil and changing of the guard at running backs with all these injuries. I'm going to bring in the doctor real quick.
Hey guys, it's Dr. Salem Perrett, the fantasy doctor, giving you a rundown of major injuries that happened this weekend. We had a lot to deal with. First off, Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson suffered from a knee injury. He could barely bear weight. His knee was locked, and he had what's called a meniscus tear. Now, usually with a meniscus tear, when you end up with the knee being locked, you are going to have surgery, and you're typically out 2 to 4 weeks if the meniscus is cleaned up, or 6+ weeks if you repair it. We don't know what surgery, if any, he's going to have. The reason I say if any is because from the sounds of it, the Vikings are going to try to play him this weekend. Now, I don't expect him to perform well at all. Whether he's a small tear or large tear, if he plays, I don't expect much from him. So I would bench him this weekend and look for him to have surgery later on this week. Dante Moncrief, wide receiver, had a what looked to be a concussion, but also ends up with a shoulder injury. He had an MRI. We don't know the specifics of the findings on this MRI, but it doesn't sound that it's going to be too severe. But I really can't give you more insight than that because we don't really have many more details. Amir Abdullah is heading down to Charlotte, North Carolina to be seen by one of the foot and ankle surgeons down in that group there. This surgeon is one of the specialists of something called a Lisfranc injury. Now, this is a big injury, and if he has it, look for him to have surgery and be out 6 to 8 weeks. If he does not have it, look for him to be in a boot. It would be more of a picture of a sprain, and he'll be out 2 to 4 weeks. Arian Foster suffered a groin injury. The MRI details were not revealed either in this case. But, you know, he's coming off an Achilles injury. He had a hamstring going into this week, and now he's got this groin injury. He has a history of his sports hernia surgery. And one of the things that as an orthopedic surgeon I want to worry about is groin injury and somebody had a sports hernia injury. And you wonder if this is a recurrence of that. Josh McCowan had a MRI of his shoulder. Unfortunately, the Browns are getting hit with one quarterback injury after another with shoulder issues. McCowan, from the reports, will be missing a few weeks. We don't know the exact mechanism or details of the injury, but it sounds like he's going to be missing a few weeks. And finally, Rashad Jennings was in a cast. It sounds like he may have a sprain of his wrist or hand, but it's weird to be in a cast. Look for him to be back within the next 1 to 2 weeks if it's just a sprain.
Probably the most alarming one we just heard out of that was Amir Abdullah. And that leads me to a player that I asked our guest this week, who's somebody they regret not drafting. And Ricky's guy was Theo Riddick.
I'm kind of known in the leagues as the pass-catching back guy. And this guy fit all my formats. Guy catches 80 passes last year. Should have been a guy I had circled. And I end up, you know, a few rounds later with Sproles in places instead of this guy. And it just makes me sick to look at this because, you know, after watching that first week, it looked more like an option 1A and 1B instead of me thinking that Abdullah was going to be the guy and Riddick was just your typical third down back. I don't think that's what this was at all. I mean, their snap count the first week, I think, was 40 to 24. But if you recall, Riddick missed nearly an entire quarter. You know, they were checking him for a concussion. So I think if he were healthy, it would have been closer to, you know, maybe 3 or 4 snap difference. And he looked like the more explosive back. He averaged more yards a carry, more yards per rush. He was the one who scored 2 touchdowns. And I'm kind of thrown out week 2 because the Titans, they allowed the least receptions to backs last year. So even though he wasn't good last week, I'm still looking back to that week 1 performance where he looked explosive. And moving forward, again, I'm just throwing that week out. I think if 80 catches was the baseline last year, and his role's going to expand, and all we're worried about is Dwayne Washington on some early down work. I mean, this guy literally has a chance to give Forte a run for his money for the reception record. I mean, I think the Lions offense focuses that much on the passing game, and if Washington is your option at the power running game, it's going to be kind of like we talked about with the Packers with that short passing game. You know, Riddick will go in the slot. I really, really, really regret not taking this guy. I think he's got 90, 95, 100-catch upside, and I don't own him anywhere.
Dwayne Washington's a legend. He went to University of Washington. He's a physical freak. We don't do white running backs. I'm assuming somebody named Zach Zenner. I'm assuming he's white. I don't pay attention to fourth-string, nobody running backs. I actually They know who he is. No, I'm not worried about him. Yes, Dwayne Washington's a freak. Yes, he always disappointed me at University of Washington. Yes, I was not a fan of his when he was here. But now he's in the pros. He's moved on. He's kind of become a man. It's shocking he even made the roster. And plus, they're working out the old veteran, the old legend, my boy, what's his name? The big dog, the guy who looked god-awful last season. I was a big fan of his until he just... Joik is back in the building. He's trying out. He probably got off the Burger King diet or whatever happened to him last year. I was disgusted to watch him play football last year. Maybe he's got some left in the tank. But yeah, I like Riddick is the guy to own. Washington might be worth a flyer, though. I mean, I don't know what that split's going to look like.
Yeah, Andy, I want to add that last year Riddick was RB18 in PPR as just basically the third down back. So if he's seeing his role expand, I mean, we could be talking about a monster.
I want to ask you, Tejo, don't Lords and Bishops interact with each other? And wasn't there another former Washington legend?
You don't need to talk about Bishop Sankey.
Miss Stern, you regret not sharing. I know somebody mentioned LaDainian Tomlinson earlier. I've often referred to Matt Forte joining the Jets as Thomas Jones reincarnated with LaDainian Tomlinson. And so far, he has lived up to every bit of that. He's currently on pace, though, for 416 carries. Let's keep in mind his rookie year was the most carries he's ever seen in the NFL, and that was only 316. So there's absolutely no way he's going to be able to keep up this pace. And most people just figure it's all downhill at this point for him. Why do you regret passing?
He looked fresh. I'll tell you, watching him against Cincinnati, I thought he looked really good. One of the reasons I regret passing on Forte is because, like Ricky, I like the pass-catching backs. They are the guys who I always target. And people were really down on Forte, and I wasn't. And I got nervous in a couple of drafts. So in the Razzball Dream League specifically, I wish I would have gone with my gut and taken him instead of such trash like Jeremy Hill, for example.
Who took Forte?
Is it you? I don't know. I don't know, but we're matched up against each other this week, so we'll talk about that. The thing with Forte for me is he's going to continue to be involved in the passing game. And with Fitzpatrick, I don't have, you know, a lot of I'm not optimistic that he's going to stay with guys like Brandon Marshall, who could get hurt. Eric Decker's steady. I'm not a believer in Quincy Inouye. I know he's looked good through the first couple of weeks, but Forte is a steady guy who Fitzpatrick can dump the ball off too easily when there's a lot of garbage being thrown at them. And I'll tell you what, he doesn't look like he's slowing down. He looks like he's got something to prove.
I didn't want you to excite Tejal any more than he already is just by you joining us tonight. So I appreciate you mentioning the Dream League, but please stop reminding him you guys are going to be alone head-to-head.
Oh, boy.
If you missed out on Matt Forte, you obviously have not been watching Off the Record, because I've been leading the charge that he was somebody everybody should be wanting. Taha was backing me up with that, more specifically because he was down on Bilal Powell.
I got to admit, he was on my radar. I had him ranked, and then I got cold feet as well because I watched him at the end of last year, and I should have known better that it was just the bad Bears offense. But he looked like he was slowing down, and really – probably any back at this point would look like it's slowing down. I mean, Todd Gurley might be half the back he is on the Rams right now if he were on the Bears. They're that bad. I mean, they're giving the Rams a run for their money for the worst team. So I should have known it was a scheme thing and not Forte, because he looks awfully good this year. I thought he lost a step, but it was just the offensive line, man. He just needed that change of scenery.
You think this is going to last, though? I mean, they're grinding him out. Like, everybody loved Powell. Like, I mean, people thought it was going to – I mean, do you think he's going to continue to get 30 touches a game? I mean, I got to figure, like, he gets banged up at some point. Like, I mean, seems kind of ridiculous.
I just said he's on a pace for 416 carries. That is – there's no way possible he can sustain that. So – if it's going to take 30 carries to get 100 yards, then no, he's obviously not going to come anywhere near that. But is he serviceable? Is he, you know, fringe RB1, RB2? Absolutely, I think. And the real question is his health. And he doesn't look like he's bothered by anything medically at this point. A player that Stacy regrets drafting is Jeremy Hill. Does this turn around, or is this just a sad story with a lot of unfulfilled potential.
Unfulfilled potential is exactly what it is. I'm really concerned. You know, first of all, I'm concerned with the Bengals. And after watching week one with Dalton and Green, terrific. And this last game, I know it was in the rain. It was sloppy, but they just looked bad. Eifert's always hurt. So if Green is always the guy, and by the way, I do like Tyler Boyd a lot. And so he's somebody that if he's not owned in your league, BT Dubs, get Boyd, because I think there's major potential for him there. But yeah, with Hill, with Bernard, I don't know what's going on. And Bernard's the better pass catching back. Hill, again, going back to his college days, this is a pedigreed guy from LSU. This is not some like sleeper that they drafted and in hopes that he would perform well. But he's just not running hard like I expected. He can't seem to find the holes again like I expected. So I had higher hopes for Hill. I thought this was going to be a nice rebound year for him. And I'm not seeing any of that potential come to fruition so far.
Taha, can you find the holes?
And I expected better. Come on.
It is my specialty. And I'm not talking about when I played running back in junior high, because I was pretty good back then also. But yes, I'm playing Stacy this week. She's going to start Jeremy Hill against me. It's going to get weird on the chat. We're going to get very talkative this week. I'm really looking forward to it. I've been planning all week. I finally have a little off time, so I'm going to write my little Razzball post tonight, probably give her a paragraph or two or three or four or five of just my general feelings towards her. And then, but yeah, okay, whenever we'll that. But Jeremy Hill, yeah, like, I don't know what's going on. I thought he bounced back. I don't know what happened. Like, last year he looked terrible. I don't know really what the Bengals are doing. Like, I feel like they gave that game away against Pittsburgh. I feel like Pittsburgh played terribly. They gave him like multiple picks, should have given him a couple more picks, and the Bengals just didn't have whatever it takes. Their weak tight end dropped something. Stacy mentioned Eifert's always hurt. Boyd's cool. LaFell's not. I mean, Green's the legend. Stuff just doesn't look good. I mean, I thought their offensive line would be very good. I thought it would be great. So I don't know why they're not pounding the rock. I don't know what's going on there, but Hill. Yeah, I don't know. He looked like a star a couple years ago, and that star is fading.
Highly touted guy, suffering from a foot injury. Sammy Watkins, Ricky, you regret drafting him. He doesn't look to be getting healthy anytime soon. It's hard to rest up a foot in season. What is your big regret with him, and what do you do with him if you have him on your roster now?
I think if there was a week to start him, just on a hunch, it's this week, because he's had 10 days to recover. So if the foot were ever going to be healthy, I know this team, the matchup isn't great. We're talking Arizona with some of the better corners, but they just fired the offensive coordinator. The new one says they're going to feature him. The schedule's not friendly, Tim. Let's put it that way. I mean, their bye's not till week 10, which is really frustrating. It worries me. I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do with Sammy Watkins unless you want to sell low on him. But I think if that foot were to get healthy at any point, let's say, you know, 3 weeks down the road, he goes without taking a big hit, and all of a sudden starts feeling better. You know, I look at last season down the stretch, and I really worry about giving him away for nothing. Because if he can get healthy, let's say he makes it through that week 10 bye down the stretch, he could be a guy who wins you a championship. So I'm staying put on him. I'm using him this week if you don't have any better options. I'm hoping he gets it done. If he doesn't this week, you're really in trouble.
Well, I'm going to stay with you, Ricky. I asked if you only had one waiver claim or who's your priority on the waiver wire. You responded with Jerick McKinnon. Obviously, the Adrian Peterson news is still kind of up in the air. Is he going to play? How much time is he going to miss? Why are you putting all your eggs in McKinnon's basket?
Well, I'm not really confident in any of these waiver claims this week, honestly. If Tyrell Williams is taken, then it's a bunch of backs that I'm not in love with. I don't think Stewart's going to be out too long. I'm not in love with Whitaker. If you're looking at that Miami back situation, I kind of like Kenyon Drake, but I don't think there's going to be enough there. And now reports that Arian Foster should probably play this weekend. So the reports were that McKinnon's supposed to see 65% of the workload. I've taken them for their word. But I'm looking back last few seasons when Peterson's been out, the games that he's seen at least double-digit touches, which is six times, he's averaged 77 yards, two and a half catches, and he scored exactly zero times. So I think this isn't a week I'm running to the waiver wire to really grab anyone unless someone drops someone stupid or Tyrell Williams is available.
Stacey, Ricky mentioned Kenyon Drake, who was your priority claim this week. I don't get it. So please give me a reason why to believe you know what you're talking about here.
So two things. First of all, when I'm doing my waiver wire pickups, I'm looking a couple weeks out, right? I'm looking to the future. I'm not always looking for this week. And in fact, if I'm trying to pick up somebody for week three right now, then I'm not a very good fantasy football player because I should be thinking ahead a few weeks. Secondly, tell me if you've heard this before. Arian Foster, soft tissue issues, gets injured. Bam, it's happening. That guy cannot stay healthy. He doesn't eat meat. I have a big problem with that. So vegetarian running backs in the NFL don't work. Kenyon Drake is actually, he's a good size. He's over 6 foot. He's 210 pounds. Look, he played at Alabama with TJ Yeldon, with Derrick Henry, with Eddie Lacy. He's a good power back, but he's also a good pass catching back. Jay Ajayi is in the doghouse with Adam Gase. I mean, he was a healthy scratch for week one. He's not a guy that they love, be it attitude, be it talent. I don't think he's that talented in the first place. So I think Drake is a sneaky pickup now. And that's part of playing fantasies. You've got to find guys ahead of time who your opponents in your league don't know much about and don't expect to be on the scene. So I think Kenyon Drake has a chance at being an RB1. If Foster's out and if Jay Ajayi is in the doghouse, it can happen.
Well, I completely disagree with you on Kenyon Drake. Maybe that's why I just lost to you this week.
And that, my friends, is why Stacey is the first lady of fantasy sports. That breakdown was beautiful. It was a thing of perfection, and I'm going to watch it over and over and over and over and over again. Slow-mo, rewind, slow-mo, rewind. Everybody needs to watch that section over and over and over and again because Drake is a good football player, and I like him more than Ajayi's bum-ass who's a scrub. I have no respect for him. We had some guests on this show who just worship Ajayi for reasons I'm not aware of. Richard Javrin, whatever. Come back on the show anytime because it's ridiculous. His obsession has gone beyond sickness. It's disgusting. I don't understand where it came from or why it happened, but it's gross.
He's as obsessed with Ajayi as you are with Stacey Stern.
No, he couldn't be. That's not possible. But, you know, the tissue isn't the only thing that's soft and ruined about Arian Foster. This guy, he eats no meat, as she said. He's soft. He's injury prone. We loved him in that movie with Kevin Costner. That was a horrible film. And then, you know, other than that, you know, but McKinnon, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with Peterson. McKinnon, I've been on the McKinnon train like every single year, and it always burns me. It always ends up with nothing. Asiata steals all the touchdowns. Asiata gets all these carries. McKinnon, I'm always expecting him to break. Like, when's that 70-yard TD run going to happen? It still has never happened, and I don't understand why it's not going to happen. Maybe this is the year. It's a tough call. I'll probably grab McKinnon.
Well, sticking with the Vikings offense, we're going to wrap this up. I ask my guests each week to give me a story they're most intrigued by, and both guests this week had some part of the Vikings that were intriguing them. Please summarize and plug away.
Okay, so I think that if you would have said at the beginning of the season that the Vikings were going to be 2-0 after beating the Packers with Sean Hill and then Sam Bradford as their quarterbacks, there's no way that anyone would have believed it. And as good as their defense is, I didn't expect to see the offensive performance from Diggs that we've seen. Stephon Diggs is a terrific talent, but he's making his quarterbacks look pretty good. So I think the Vikings are the big story right now that everyone's pretty excited about and interested in. We'll see what happens with Peterson and Asiata and McKinnon. But I think we expected the running game to be better. Their offensive line is pitiful. And what they've been able to do is nothing short of miraculous there. As for where you can find me, I run head-to-head sports. It's headtohead.com, the original season-long salary cap game since 94. You can find me on Twitter at Stacey Stern. That's at Stacey, StaceySTACIESTERN.
Excellent. And I'm going to throw it over to you, Mr. Sanders. Same deal.
Yeah, who thought this guy was going to turn into a number one receiver? Who thought Sam Bradford was going to come save the day for any team ever? But that looks to be happening. I mean, you look at his numbers both weeks. Really, the average depth of target was the same. But here's what stands out to me. The yards per target with Bradford, 20 compared to 11.4 with Hill. That was fourth best of the week. He caught all nine targets. They used him everywhere. And what really intrigues me about this guy, now that I went back and looked at it, is everyone, you know, considers Norv Turner the running back whisperer. But how about Norv Turner was the guy that when Josh Gordon went for 1,600 yards, we all remember that magical season. He was the guy. I mean, there was an offense with one target. There's, again, an offense with one target. So I just look at this and I see the parallels between these guys. An emerging receiver who all of a sudden busts out. I don't think this is phony by any means. Bradford really seemed to like him. Again, they used him everywhere, kind of like they did with Gordon. I remember them using him out of the slot. So I think Stephon Diggs, that monster performance against a division rival, is the beginning of things to come. I think he's a wide receiver one moving forward. I wasn't really a believer coming into the season, but all it took was two games. So I think Stephon Diggs is going to be the leader of this offense. He's really going to be relied upon like Gordon was. As for where you can find me, pretty much anywhere in the industry at this point. But Twitter handle at rsandersdfs. I write the content for Fantasy Draft. It's kind of like the DraftKings playbook, except it's just yours truly for most of it. I do a podcast with London Fletcher, so you can find that there. I write at FanVice. I write at Daily Fantasy Cafe, and I write at RotoCurve. And it's hurting my brain to remember all these places at once, but there's where you can find me.
Awesome.
Good.
The same North Turner, who isn't he also the Cordarrelle Patterson destroyer? That North Turner. Mr. Baddock, you have anything you want to say to the masses or Mr. in particular?
Yeah. We all remember when Cordarrelle Patterson was going like in the third round. Was that last year or the year before? I've lost track of time. That was insane. North Turner's going to go there. I still don't understand how that guy has somehow gotten worse at playing football every year, how he was able to do what he did his rookie year. By the way, both these guests are spitting hot flames constantly, rapid fire. What an honor to be with two legends like this on this show. It's incredible. What else were we? Oh, Sam Bradford. Was I wrong about Sam Bradford my whole life? I hated the guy in college. I hated when the Rams took him number one. And then I watched that Viking. I clowned the Vikings for trading a first round pick for him. Then I watched that game and I'm like, this guy's better than Teddy Bridgewater I've ever seen. Like, it's not, I've never seen Teddy Bridgewater have that good of a game or look that good ever in my life. Stephon Diggs, I said, oh my God, is this guy a top 10 receiver in the NFL right now? This guy looks insane. And then I had Doug Gottlieb saying the same thing on the radio the next day. I'm like, he's reading my tweets. He's stealing my information. It is everywhere. Going crazy. Diggs is legit. It's legit.
Thank you to our guests, Stacey Stern and Ricky Sanders, for joining us. This was Off the Record, Episode 8. Next week, we will be joined by Dynasty Frank of the Bull Rush Podcast, as well as Joel Holka, who writes for 4for4 currently and is becoming the running back specialist throughout the industry. Real quick, don't forget, like us on Facebook, like us on Instagram, subscribe to this channel, like the video, all that good stuff. And don't forget to check out Dynasty Football Factory, Fantasy Assembly, and Friends with Fantasy Benefits. We will see you next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Can we just have these two back on Knicks every week? That's what I want to do.
We can. If it works.
I know they normally get paid, but like we can like work something out.
If it works with their schedule, I will certainly pull up them some more dates.
Thank you.
You're welcome.